Well, tonight I want to speak on unbelief. So if you keep keeping notes, that's the title, unbelief. You know, when things go wrong in your life or you have some kind of adversity that you come against, you have a choice. You can choose the way of faith and intentionally put your trust in God and say, yes, Lord, I'm going to follow your way. I'm going to believe what your word has to say about how I need to handle this adversity. Or you can choose to rebel against God's way and just do your own thing. And I know rebelling seems like a strong word, but that's truly what it is. When we decide not to follow God's plan and his path, that's rebellion. But I think a lot of times what happens with Christians is we come against some adversity or something comes wrong in our life and we totally forget God and we just don't even consider God's ways. I want to caution you, you don't want to live that way. We want to always follow God's will, God's plan, and his way for our life. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 says, beware. That's a kind of a daunting word, isn't it? Beware. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief departing from the living God. Evil. An evil heart. That's what unbelief, when you have unbelief in your heart, that's how the word describes you, is that there's some evil there. It says in the NIV, see to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. So we don't want to turn away from God's ways. We don't want to turn away from the direction that he gives us of how we're supposed to live our lives in his word. We need to see unbelief for what it is. We need to see it as something that's ugly. We need to see unbelief as something that robs us of blessings in our life. It causes us problems. Life is just not as good when there's unbelief in it. Did you know that unbelief, it truly displeases God? It says in Matthew chapter 16, in verse 14. Now this is after Jesus has risen from the dead. And this is what he says. Later, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at table. So now, let's see what is happening here. The 11 disciples are seated around a table, and Jesus appears to him. Now, he's obviously going to say something really awesome and great, right? I mean, that's what you would think. He's appearing to his disciples. But this is what he says. And he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. He rebuked them. Because of their unbelief. They didn't believe it when people said, we've seen him, he's alive. But they didn't believe. Have you ever been that way where someone has come up to you and shared a testimony about something good that God has done in their life and you think, I don't know. Unbelief. You know, unbelief in your heart will keep miracles from happening in your life. It says in Mark chapter 6, here, Jesus himself is in Nazareth, and he's ministering to the people of his hometown. But this is what he says in verse 5. He could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. I don't want the Lord to look at me and marvel at my unbelief. I don't want that. You know, I believe Jesus wanted to do mighty works there in his hometown. You know, those he grew up with and that he knew. Don't you know he just longed to be able to do some miracles and some great things in their life? But he couldn't because of their unbelief. You see, because God chooses to work through faith, we have to believe. Unbelief will keep you out of your promised land. Your promised land is the place of blessing. It's the place of abundance and provision that God has prepared for you. You see, God has a promised land for every individual in here. He has a place of abundance. He has a place of just where there's no lack. It's there. It's for you. But unbelief will keep you out of that. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 16, I want to begin with the middle of the verse. For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? We're talking about who? The Israelites. He's led them out of Egypt, all those mighty great things that God did to set them free. Now, with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of their unbelief. So what kept the Israelites out of the promised land? Unbelief. It kept them out. You know, unbelief and disobedience, you will see, just go hand in hand. Unbelief is not going to get you where you want to be in life. The Israelites wanted to go to that promised land, but their unbelief kept them out of it. Unbelief is not okay. It's not okay. It's not okay. You just have to, we are so used to bits and pieces of unbelief in our life. We just kind of accept it. But it's not okay. It's not a small thing. You have to see it as something that you must get out of your life. You know, when you don't believe what God has said, that means you're doubting him. You're not trusting in his sovereignty. You're not believing in who he truly is and what he can do. You know what unbelief does? It causes stress in your life. It can make you grumpy. It can make you sick. It can do all those things to your physical body. I remember back at the beginning of 2010, I wrote in the front of my Bible this phrase, "I will not tolerate stress in my life." I've told this to the ladies at the ladies' meeting before, but I will not tolerate stress in my life. And why do I put that there? Because to me, stress just reeks of unbelief. Because you see, when you're stressed out and you're all upset, when you're all worried, or maybe you just have a sadness, an abiding sadness in your life, there's some unbelief there. Unbelief is bad. It's bad. It brings pain into your life. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. "I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live." Now, this is if you've been in church very long, you've heard this verse before. But I want to challenge you. Jesus, or the Father, is telling us, choose life. But are you really? Are you really choosing life? It seems like the obvious choice. But you know, when you sit around dwelling on all the negative things in your life, you're choosing death. You're choosing just a little bit of death. We need to declare, this phrase came to me when I was actually running down the street thinking about this message. I said, we need to declare war on unbelief. We need to declare war on it and get serious about it. Go on the offensive. You need to decide that, yes, I can believe God and I will believe God. I don't have to stay stuck in the situation I'm in. I can and I will believe God. I do not have to be sick the rest of my life. I can and I will believe God. You know, those Israelites, they're such examples. I don't think I want to be the kind of example they are, but if in Exodus chapter 15, you know, the Israelites have just crossed through the Red Sea. Now, if you can, we're used to that story, but think about it. Wouldn't that be really cool to stand in front of a mighty sea and watch it divide and walk through it? That would be amazing. I've never seen anything like that in my whole life. Amazing. And the Israelites experienced this. But let's see what happened immediately after that. Verse 22. "Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the desert of Shur. For 3 days they traveled in the desert without finding water." So here we are, 3 days after they've left that great miracle site, and adversity is coming up. "When they came to Marah, they could not drink its water because it was bitter." That's why the place was called Marah. "So the people grumbled against Moses, saying, 'What are we to drink?'" They're already like, "What are we going to do? There's no water. It's bitter here." Well, they were so quick to forget the God who can control the water. I mean, he can split the water of a sea. Certainly he can bring them water to drink when they need it. But what did they do? They just fell into unbelief. That little bit of adversity came. They've been without water, grumbling and complaining. And you know, I always think, stupid Israelites. Stupid Israelites. But don't we do the same thing? God does something really great and good in your life one day, and then the very next day you're grumbling and complaining about something else. When God is there all the time, you need to remember, God is always there. He never changes, and He's always ready to help you. Do you know God doesn't take a break from you? God doesn't run out of time for you. God always has a solution to whatever you're facing. Now, the solution He has, it may be painful and it may be slow, but if you will stick with God, stay in faith, believe Him, you will walk in victory. You know, trusting and believing God is easy to do when everything's going good. But when things go wrong, that's when it's easy to fall into unbelief. You know, it's easy to say that you believe. I believe God wants me to live in divine health until pain hits your body. And then the battle is on. You know, there's this little verse that always comes to me. It's Mark 11:22. Jesus said, four little words, have faith in God. And that truly says it all. If we could just have faith in God. How many times do we think, oh man, I don't know this situation. Lord, you know it's bad. You know at my job, it's so bad. My boss hates me. Have faith in God. You know, the problem is you come and we pray and we say, okay, now God, you know the situation that I'm in. And I ask you to work in this way. And you pray and then you really believe in God. And you say, amen, Lord, I believe it. But then you go about your way, but you don't actually have the answer in your hand yet. The problem is between when you say amen and there it is. It's that space in between when you pray and say, okay, God, I ask you to help me. Amen. And you don't see it yet. What do you do in this time between the amen and there it is? What can you do if you want unbelief out of your life? And I'm going to talk about four things. And I know there's more, but these are just the four that came to me that I believe God wants me to share tonight. Four things we can do to help get that unbelief so that once you have prayed and you're standing, you're believing God, what can you do to keep that unbelief out of your life so you can see the fulfillment of it? Number one, you can pray and ask God to help you to believe. Ask God to help you believe. There's a story in Mark chapter 9, and I absolutely love this story. It is a story of a man who has a son. His son is demon-possessed, and he is desperate for help for his son. Ever been desperate for help for one of your children? Well, he brings his son to the disciples and asks his disciples to cast this demon out of his son. Well, the disciples tried, but they couldn't do it. So they brought him to Jesus. And this is what Jesus said. It's in verse 19. Jesus answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. You know, can you just sense a weariness in Jesus' statement here? Because the, you know, unbelief of others can just wear on you. Have you ever thought, does anybody believe anymore? All I hear is this griping and grumbling and complaining about this and that. I want to caution you, don't save your faith for just the big things. You need to practice on the little bitty things that occur all day long. If you can't do it on the little things, when that big thing comes, it's just going to knock you right down. Oh, yes, I'm strong. I'm going to lift this 100 pounds. No, you're not. If you can't lift 5 pounds, you're not going to certainly lift 100. It's really important. Practice on the little things of life. Practice on the little things of life. Back to verse 20. Then they brought him to Jesus, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. And often he has thrown him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if he can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. He is desperate. He is so desperate. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. See, he's just giving this man hope. All things are possible. I'm going to say to you, whatever your situation is, all things are possible. There is hope. All things are possible. What is the key? Jesus said, it's if you can believe. And I love this response of this father, because he's immediately the father of the child, cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. And I have been there many times. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. That is a prayer that God will answer. Help my unbelief. And if you go on to read, Jesus does cast that demon, helps that father believe, because he casts that demon out of that child and he gives him back to his father. But on to verse 28, and when he had come into the house, the disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast it out? He said to them, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. You say, we can pray and ask God to help us believe, but it may take some time. It may take some time of getting alone with God. It may take some time of fasting for God to do a work in your heart for you to be able to believe. But he'll work on you if you'll let him do it. So that was number one. To help get the unbelief out of your life, pray and God, ask God to help you get it out of your life. Number two, what can you do when you do not see the answer to your prayers right away and keep that unbelief out? You can help others who have a need. Help others. And specifically, I think it's really helpful if you can find somebody who has the same type of need that you are and pray and believe God with them. For example, let's say you have a financial need. You have a desperate financial need. You have a bill that you cannot pay and you don't know how you're going to pay it. Find somebody else that has a need financially and pray and believe God with them. Because you see, that's exercising your faith. That's planting good seed. So whatever it is, whatever problem you have, I encourage you, find somebody else with similar things and pray and believe God with them. Or you can pray and believe God together. So help others who have a need. When you're in this time between the amen, there it is. And then number three, what can you do? You need to have a thankful and a grateful heart. A thankful and a grateful heart. We have so much to be thankful for, but it's so easy to focus on the negative. Don't focus on what you don't have. Don't focus on all the situations in life that displease you. We need to focus on all the good things in our life. Be thankful and grateful for all of the little things. If you're healthy, thank God for your health. What a blessing that is. You have a home, a nice home to live in. Thank you, Lord, for my home. You have a car that drives. Thank you, Lord, for this car. There's so much to be thankful for. And when you get into focusing on all negative things, you focus on all the things in life that you don't like, it brings a darkness over your mind and a darkness over your faith, and it hinders and it brings unbelief into your life. So live with a thankful and a grateful heart. And then number four, and I think this is the absolute most important thing you can do to keep the unbelief out of your life, and what you can do between the amen and there it is, and that is stand on the authority of God's word. Simply just stand on what it says. Whether you see it or not, I know what God's word says. If you'll do that, you can get control over those negative thoughts and what's coming out of your mouth. I found the neatest verse today. It was in Psalms 144, verse 1. Blessed be the Lord my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. He trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. God will give you what you need in order to fight the battle that you're in. He'll give you a battle plan. You know, God gave me a plan. When cancer came, what did God do? He gave me a plan. He gave me two verses that I could stand on the authority of God's word. And it didn't matter what it looked like, didn't matter what it felt like, didn't matter what the doctor said. It doesn't matter how long it takes, because God's word says in Romans 4:19 that I don't look at the circumstances. If God says in Psalm 118, verse 17, that I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord, which is what I'm doing tonight. I am declaring the works of the Lord. You see, when any time unbelief tries to come in, because I'm telling you, any time I have a pain, it doesn't matter where it is. It can be on my foot. It can be on my arm. It can be in my head. The devil is just right there. Cancer's coming back. The cancer's coming back. What do I do? Romans 4:19. Sometimes I'm just spout out the reference. Romans 4:19, Psalm 118, verse 17. I tell you what it does. It just, that unbelief, it just goes. It just leaves. Why? Because I'm standing on the authority of God's word. I tell you, the word of God coming out your mouth is the greatest weapon you can have. It's that greatest weapon. You cannot just think it. I've tried that. I've tried just thinking it. It's just not near as good. It's like smelling food is not near as good as eating the food. You got to speak it out of your mouth. It has great power. Declare war on any unbelief in your life. So let's say you have a negative circumstance that rises in your life. Maybe a conflict of some kind in a relationship. Or maybe you're nervous about something you have to do. You see, I faced that this morning when the first thing when I woke up this morning, I was so tempted to just be nervous about tonight. Because this is not easy. This is not me. I would be so happy just to sit right there. But I know God gave me this word, so I have to share it. So this morning when I was so tempted to be stressed, you know, here I'm speaking about unbelief and this stress was just trying to come on me. What did I do? Well, first thing I did is I prayed. I just prayed. I said, Lord, I just give that tonight to you. And, you know, I just said my prayer. And then I decided, you know, I need to stand on God's word. And then so I started thinking, okay, now what verses can I be standing on? Because this is really key. You need a verse to be standing on. It gives you strength. If you don't know a verse to stand, you just need one. A phrase is really all you need from the word of God. If you don't have that, then it's like you're like a reed. The wind will come and it'll just shake you all around. But anyway, so I was thinking, okay, James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask of God who gives liberally to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. So I thought, okay, yes, Lord, I'm going to stand on that you're going to give me the wisdom I need to be able to deliver this message tonight. And then I thought about, I love this verse, Psalms 121 verse 2, which says, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. I mean, you can't get better help than that. So, Lord, I thank you, Lord. Yes, you said you would help me. I thank you, Lord, for your help. And then I started thinking about the fact the Holy Spirit is inside of me. I have power. I have unlimited power on the inside of me. I tell you, we have not tapped into what that truly means. That's something that I'm going to really need to study out some more. But I got to thinking about that. Power inside of me. And then I discovered this other verse. I thought this was really neat. In Psalm 112, verse 7. And this verse is speaking to the one who's serving the Lord. How many in here are serving God? Okay, this is for you. And this was for me. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. See, I don't have to be afraid of tonight. I don't have to be afraid. My heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. So all day long, I've had this little phrase. When fear would try to come on, you know, just because you pray in the morning and you have a really great, awesome prayer time, doesn't mean an hour later the devil's not going to come back at you. So you have to have something. You got to have a weapon. So my weapon today was, my heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. So every time that negative thought or anxiousness, a little bit worried, a little scared, my heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. I just kept saying that all day long. And you know, I had a great day, a relaxing day. It wasn't a stressful day like it's been in the past when I've had to prepare to speak. How can your heart be so fixed? How can you say with such confidence that it's going to be all right? Because you're standing on God's word. You know, that's what Abraham did. He stood on what God told him. What did God tell Abraham? He said, Abraham, you're going to have a son. He's going to come from your own body. Sarah's going to have that child. He just chose to believe. And I have to say, I don't want to say this every scripture, but this is one of my favorite scriptures. I was making fun of Carla this week about saying everything was her favorite, so I guess it's my turn. Romans 4:19 says, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he's about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Do you realize how impossible that situation was? It was impossible. Is your situation impossible tonight? I have got good news for you. Verse 20, Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. He was fully persuaded that what God has promised, he was able also to perform. I'm telling you, you can be, if you'll spend enough time thinking and meditating on God's word, that will rise up on the inside of you, and you will be able to believe. God never asks his children to do something they cannot do. I think too much of the time we're just lazy. We want them to just give it to us. We don't want to put forth any effort, but we have to, if you'll spend that time in the word, your faith will grow, and you can believe God. I just wanted to share another example with you about believing God, because I know many of us in here have children. And if you have children, you are concerned about their future. You want them to have a prosperous and a successful life. But you know, when you're raising kids, sometimes there are so shaky times. And it can be frightening, and you can be afraid about what's going to happen with your child. Because nothing as a parent is more precious to you than your child. So I got to thinking, well, what does the word say? If you're anxious about a child tonight, what does the word say? Well, I have a word for you. Because it says in Psalm 112, verse 2, for the person that fears the Lord and delights in his command. Do you fear the Lord? Do you delight in his commands? Well, this is for you and for your children. Says his descendants will be mighty on the earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. You can claim that for your child. If you fear the Lord, now you just can't live however you want to. Come to church once a month. Open your Bible once a year. Watch all kind of stuff on the TV. And claim this promise. I'm sorry, you just can't do that. You just cannot live like the rest of the world and be like everybody else and claim this promise. That's not what it says. It's the one that fears the Lord and delights in his commands. You can claim that your children will be mighty on the earth and they will be blessed. Psalm 25:13, another one for you, for your children, the one that fears the Lord. He himself shall dwell in prosperity. His descendants shall inherit the earth. I like the way the King James puts it. His soul shall dwell at ease. The one who fears the Lord, his soul shall dwell at ease. Parents, your soul can dwell at ease. Isn't that good news? Why can you? Because your seed's going to inherit the earth. Amen. I see whatever it is you're facing, there's a promise. There's a scripture you can stand on. Whatever you're believing God for, it may not look good right now, but you know that's what faith is for. Standing on what God has said, no matter what it looks like, however long that it takes, you can do it. That's what Abraham did. Didn't matter what it looked like, he stood, the child came. That is what you can do as well. You can do it. Unbelief is bad. It's a poison. Don't allow it in your life. Amen.